Hello and welcome back to That Girl's Going Places. If you are brand new to my podcast, my name is Marin. I'm glad you're here. Today we are talking about everything in relation to therapy and mental health. So if that's up your alley, I hope you stick around. Very first thing right off the bat, obviously talking about therapy and mental health can be triggering for some. So I'm just going to put that warning out here at the beginning of the episode that if you have that kind of sensitivity towards therapy, eating disorder recovery, depression, anxiety, mental health issues, then I encourage you to just click out of this episode, maybe go listen to a different one of mine. I have plenty that are not about this topic, so just want to leave that little disclaimer out there before we get started. So a little bit about what I want to accomplish with this episode. I have been wanting to do just a very general, like, therapy 101 and my experience with it episode for a while now. And then a couple days ago on my Instagram at Marin for the Gym, I had you guys ask me some questions that I'll also be answering towards the end of the episode, but it just kind of started a bigger conversation and a lot of people were DMing me with their own comments and questions and concerns about therapy, and they kind of wanted to hear my experience with it as well. So I thought that this would be a perfect time to really sit down and make this episode. I don't have a super specific plan. If you've been listening to a lot of my other episodes lately, I'm trying to just take things in a more casual, informal type of style, more like me and you are just FaceTiming and ranting about a specific topic. That topic today would be therapy, mental health. Okay, I think you get where I'm going with this. So let's see, a good place to start, I think, would be how I got into therapy originally and kind of my journey with finding therapists, because that's also something I get asked about all the time, is finding therapists. So a quick little backstory. I should have done more research before I sat down to record this, but I'm pretty sure I started therapy when I was, like, in elementary school, very young, like, probably third grade, maybe. I don't even remember. I should have asked my mom before I recorded this, but I started therapy from a very young age, and it's honestly something that I forgot about. My parents put me in therapy because when I was younger, I dealt with some severe anxiety that was separate than what I'm dealing with now, but that's kind of a whole other story. But I was dealing with just some tough stuff as a kid, and panic attacks were pretty frequent in my life, even from a young age. So they, I guess, just put me in therapy again. I don't even really remember this part of my journey, but I do remember going to see a woman once a week, and I think my first therapist, I'm trying to remember what I used to do with her. I remember my mom would come in with me to the sessions because I was so young, and I remember actually starting meditation and, like, guided visualizations with her even when I was, 7 or 8 years old. That was the only thing I really remember from my first therapist. She used to give me little, like, CDs that I could play on my CD player of guided visualizations, which I know that I'm, like, not old, but CDs already feel very dated to me. Anyway, I'm, like, just remembering that now. But she used to give me little guided meditations, and it would be, I remember one, like, with a secret garden, and it was, like, a 30-minute meditation, and I was supposed to close my eyes anytime I felt like I was gonna have a panic attack, and then my mom would play the CD, and it would, like, take me through this visualization. So that's all I remember getting out of those therapy sessions. I'm sure it was productive and good for my mental health, especially just where I was at mentally as a kid, but I don't really remember much else. After that, I'm regretting not doing more research before I sat down to record this, but I remember switching therapists at some other age. I feel like I might have switched even two times, like, two other therapists after that first one, but I was in therapy for a few years, and I think after I understood what therapy was, I realized I wasn't really clicking with the people my parents kept on finding for me. So I think that's why I switched a couple times just to try out different people. But each person kind of had their own thing that I would get out of their sessions. That first one was meditation. Another woman I remember talked to me a lot about like fear and trying to get over fear and panic attacks, all revolving around the same idea. But I do remember kind of switching around a few times. I believe I took a break from therapy in my later like middle junior high school years, probably when I was like maybe 13, 14-ish. But I was in therapy for probably a few years. I think I'm getting that right. I think for a few years, like ages 7 to 8 to probably 11 or 12, I want to say. I honestly don't remember. It was such a blur. And I always forget that like I've been in therapy for a long time. But that's how therapy started in my life originally. It was just kind of chosen for me. Not that I was defensive against it, but it definitely wasn't out of my own will, and it was more just because I was dealing with these serious issues as a kid. So my family just wanted to provide me some support for those issues. Then come freshman year of high school, I was dealing with some social issues. I think every kid has trouble their first year of high school. Especially at my high school, it's a huge high school. After being in all these different towns and different feeder schools, and you meet new people, and it can just kind of be hard to find friends. Also, like half of my friend group from middle school moved away to different schools, and like my two best friends moved away. So I was just feeling a little more depressed than I had ever felt freshman year. And I was just having trouble finding what crowd I wanted to fit into. So I actually then in freshman year went back to my mom and I was like, I want to do therapy this time. So it wasn't them pushing it on me. It wasn't my parents pushing it on me. It was more out of my own will. And that is the therapist. We'll get more on this later, but that is actually the therapist I see now. We found her through a family friend. I would say this is where it gets hard with finding a therapist. Some people are really open to talking about their therapist and recommending it to others, but I wouldn't push it on someone to ask for a recommendation of their therapist. If you know someone in therapy and you're trying to find a therapist and they don't really want to share who theirs is, that's totally fine. I wouldn't really push it to try to get their therapist out of them, just because that can be a really personal and private relationship that they don't feel like recommending to someone else. Of course, if you stumble upon that same person, that's just a coincidence, but it can kind of be touchy. So I would just put that warning out there that if you're trying to find someone and you're asking around for people you know, it might be just kind of a sensitive topic. So just watch out for that. But we did have some family friends who were seeing, who had this therapist at the time and had a really good experience with her. So I started seeing her freshman year, again, for kind of more this like depression, social situation concept. She obviously knew that I had a past with a lot of anxiety, and I disclosed my old therapist or all my old therapy situations from when I was a kid with her. So she had that whole background, but it was more focused on my friend situation. So that was freshman year. Then she had a baby. Very like ironic, just coincidence that she got pregnant. She went on maternity leave. And I, because she went on maternity leave, obviously we had to stop sessions. And I kind of just forgot to go back to therapy once she was back in practice. So that was really the only reason that I stopped. I also, at that point, therapy was like very emotionally draining for me. As a freshman, I was like still not really emotionally mature, and I just had a lot going on in my life. I was still dancing like a shit ton, and I just did not have the emotional capacity to like go into a room every week and cry my eyes out, which is what it was at the time. So it kind of was like a natural transition that she had a baby. We stopped seeing each other. There's no like hard feelings. I still loved her, but then I just kind of forgot to get back in sessions, and it kind of felt nice to take a break from that emotionally draining session each week. Then, so that's like sophomore year probably. Then we get to junior year. And I've talked about this before on my podcast very briefly, but my parents separated in the summer of, what was that, 2019? Before my junior year, I think it was 2019. And I just knew that I probably would have some feelings about that. So actually right off the bat, like just a month after I found out about their separation, I put myself back in therapy with a new therapist who focused on divorce and family issues, and I saw her for probably a couple of months, maybe 2 or 3 months or so. I would say I didn't really click with her. I found her online. That's another great resource. Honestly, we have all this information at our fingertips with the internet, and you can go to, I think it's called like psychology.com or something like that, where there's just this database of therapists near you, and you can kind of start to filter through based on what topics you want to discuss with them. Anyway, that's how I found that therapist. She was local to me. And again, I don't really think I clicked with her. And I also don't think I really had a lot of feelings yet or stuff to work through with my parents' situation. I think it was so fresh that I expected myself to really need the therapy once a week and like dissect what was happening, but I actually don't think anything had really processed for me yet, so I was not really getting anywhere with those sessions either. So I took a break from her. Then the pandemic happened, and we know where that goes. Can't be seeing anyone really. It took a little while to figure out telehealth for everyone. So then I took a long therapy break. I also did the Your Inner Babe group coaching program in the summer of 2020 as kind of my form of eating disorder recovery. I've talked about that before. I have a whole episode with Jack Gould, who is the creator of the program. It's not therapy, it's not clinical, but similar kind of mindset coaching, and it kind of filled that void in my life for mental health check-ins and working on my mental health. So that was what I did summer of 2020. Now come to the present day. This past summer, I was really wanting to bring back that weekly check-in with my mental health back into my life. I felt that it was kind of a void. Obviously, I do all my self-care practices. I go to the gym every morning, which is kind of a form of therapy for me, and I make sure that I'm taking care of myself. But I did want a more dedicated space to working through my feelings and working through anything that was going on in my life, just because I noticed myself kind of bubbling up with emotions at times and then overflowing instead of working through those. So I sought out going back to therapy, and over these past, 10 years since I was 8 years old, that one therapist that I had freshman year was the one I clicked with the most. So she was instantly who I came to mind. At this point, I've seen literally, 5, 6 therapists in my lifetime. So I wasn't super interested in trying to find another one. So I actually reached out, and it was 4 years later after freshman year. I didn't even know if she would remember me, but I emailed her and I was like, hey, I'm 18 now. I've gone through a lot of different things since freshman year. My parents got separated. I had an eating disorder. I'm moving to college in a couple of months. I would really love to meet again. Is there something that we can work out? I got very lucky. She was able to squeeze me in. She wasn't even accepting new clients, but she squeezed me in for 8 a.m. on Mondays, which I know like no one else would take that appointment besides me because I've already been up for 3 hours at that point. But that is how I landed with my current therapist. And I see her every week. And it is kind of my most favorite and least favorite part of the week. I do really like it, but therapy is hard and you have to know what you're committing to. It's hard work that you're going into every week, and it's emotional and it's draining and exhausting, but it is super productive work if you are open to the work, and it has been it's made the world of a difference for me in my own personal life, and I'm really glad that I have decided to get back into it for myself, especially in this summer before I leave for college. It was really important to me to work on my mental health and really get that in check before I'm moving to a whole nother state and my life changes more drastically. Whew, so that was kind of a ramble, but that was my journey with therapy. Now you know my background experience. From there, so just touching on the how to find a therapist again, I want to make sure, because I get asked that all the time, that you have some answers for that if you were wondering. Again, like I said, if you want to ask a friend or family member or family friend that you know is in therapy about their therapist, I would just recommend to be sensitive. And if they don't want to share, don't make them feel bad about not sharing. It can just be that tough situation and kind of sensitive relationship to disclose. So you can ask a friend, but don't completely expect them to share their therapist with you. And then that second option that I talked about was just finding your resources online. I'm trying to figure out what that website is. It's literally like psychology.com or therapy.com or something. I don't know. Something like that along those lines, where you can filter through different therapists in your area and filter through by what topic you want to talk about them with. I'm sure if you like Google therapist near me, like that result will come up, but online can be such a good resource and it can really be such an advantage and privilege that we have with the internet at our fingertips, finding people that can bring you the support that you need. I also want to reiterate that you can tell over my 10 years of therapy, I have had a lot of different therapists, and you don't have to feel bad about not finding the right fit that first time, maybe even the second time, the third time, however many times it takes for you to really find someone who you click with and who you feel validates what you need out of therapy. I think it's a super sensitive and personal relationship to have with someone, so you want to make sure that it's someone you trust and feel good about seeing and telling your life about and all your problems to, etc. So don't feel bad if it takes a couple times, takes a couple people to really find the right fit, because it's definitely a relationship that you want to have a good fit with. That being said, I'm currently in the process of finding a new therapist. As we all know, I'm moving to school, and unfortunately, this is kind of like a weird logistical issue, but my therapist is not licensed in Massachusetts. So even though I'd be like Zooming with her and doing telehealth calls, technically it would be illegal for me to be in my dorm and Zooming with her from Illinois. So I cannot keep seeing her, which is sad, but literally every time I come home for breaks or summers, I can check in with her, but I do have to find a new Massachusetts licensed therapist to see in my dorm. So I'm currently going through that process. For me now as a college student, there's a super helpful resource that I guarantee almost every school has. What I did is I reached out to my health services office. I just emailed them and I said, do you have any referrals for therapists in the area? And the woman gave me like a whole long list of therapists. And then I was actually able to go in and bring that list to my current therapist, and she kind of had heard of some, or she knew some in her network, so we kind of tried to figure out who would be the most similar and who would have the most similar style to what I'm used to with my current situation. So that's another great resource, especially if you're a college student. Check your health services, like health offices, and see if they have any referrals for you. From there, you can kind of go to those referrals websites, read a little bit about each therapist, and then reach out. So I have already started reaching out to people in Boston so I can make sure I have that all set up. But again, I'm going to have an open mind and compassion with myself. If that first one I try doesn't work out, I can try another one from the list and just make sure that I find the right fit, even in a new state. Okay, now as a transition, I want to talk less about the logistics of therapy and finding a therapist, but more about personally some of my greatest takeaways from my work with my therapist in these past couple of weeks. That's going to be the experience with therapy that I'll be talking about for the rest of the episode, just because it's most current and it's about the issues that I've talked about on my podcast and Instagram before, so it's more familiar to everyone else. First one was this metaphor that we keep on coming back to. We have kind of deduced that I tend to think in extremes and kind of like a black and white mindset. I actually wrote a whole Instagram post about this. I think it's like the first line of the caption is "I'm learning to live in the gray area," something like that. It's a photo of me on the stairs. If you want to read it, I think it hit home with a lot of people. But basically what that post is covering and what we've been talking about in therapy is that my mind very often goes to that like extreme all or none mindset with black and white, and there's no kind of middle gray area typically with my first thoughts about anything. So I'll give you an example. Something that I just have really wanted to be working on in therapy, and one of the main reasons I wanted to go, was my emotional self-sufficiency. I kind of wanted to be able to handle my emotions on my own as I leave for school. You know, I don't want to rely on my family and friends at home. I want to be really comfortable and trust my own self to take care of myself and be able to soothe my own emotions when it gets into a hard spot. So I was kind of explaining that to my therapist, and what we figured out is that I tend to equate soothing my emotions with getting rid of them. So if I'm in a tough spot, if I'm sad one day, I immediately think to myself, well, I need to just get rid of this sad feeling. Like, that's the way that I can help myself. And the reason why I was never able to actually help myself is because that's impossible. And you need to actually be able to feel your feelings for them to pass. So that's another example of that all or none mindset. Like, I felt like I either had to cure this sadness or whatever bad feeling I was in the moment and completely get rid of it and move on, or I would just drown in the feeling. Like, there was no in between, between feeling like pulled down and weighted by the bad feeling or completely getting rid of it. So what we've been working on, and this back to the metaphor I was going to explain originally, is the middle area. That gray area that I'm trying to focus on more. And a phrase that we always use is lowering the intensity of a feeling. What are things that I can do to lower the intensity rather than completely getting rid of them? Because that's never going to work. So the metaphor is riding a wave. You can picture the ocean, you're riding a wave. Maybe you're surfing, I don't know, whatever image works for you. But this metaphor really hits home for me. So you're riding the wave and you don't have to drown in the water. No one's telling you to drown. You can keep yourself afloat, and you know, there's nothing, no outside external forces that are making you become completely weighted down where you can't hold yourself up and can't ride the wave anymore. There's no reason for you to drown. But also, as you're riding the wave, let's say that the waves are getting high and they're getting more extreme, it's also going to be impossible for you to try to just teleport to land right away. And, you know, if you're out in the ocean, that's going to take a while to get all the way back to land and try to get rid of the waves completely. The waves exist, they're getting a little bit tougher to get through, and there's nothing besides time that can completely get rid of the wave. So you just ride the wave and you let it pass, and it'll eventually bring you to shore. So this is kind of the same thing as what I was talking about with my extremes with emotions. No one's telling you to drown. You don't need to drown, and you can keep yourself afloat. So that's the idea of emotions don't need to weigh you down. When you're in that tough spot, you don't need to completely just sink in them and let them take over. But at the same time, there's no point in trying to get rid of a feeling or get rid of a wave. Sometimes time just passes and that's the only thing that can help. It's impossible to try to get yourself to land immediately when you're dealing with those waves or feelings in this situation. So you ride the wave aka just feeling the feeling, and do everything you can to make riding that wave more enjoyable and more comfortable, i.e. lowering the intensity of your feeling, doing some self-care practices to make it less intense, but feeling the feeling for what it is and still trying to provide yourself that comfort so that it's easier to ride the wave or feel the feeling until it passes. That one always helps me a ton. That has been one of my biggest takeaways. And I swear to you, I literally picture that wave almost every time I'm in a tough spot. I can really picture it. For me, I'm such a visual person. So when I have that visualization to work with, it just really helps me bring myself back into the present moment, that mindfulness idea, and picture this idea that helps me just lower the intensity of my feelings rather than trying to get rid of them completely. So that one's been a huge takeaway for me, from therapy. If that helped you, let me know. Of course, when you're in therapy, you're working through your own issues and your therapist knows kind of how to help you more specifically. But if any of you relate to that all or nothing mindset and those extremes and living in black and white with your thoughts, then hopefully that one helped you out. Okay, so that one is really my main takeaway, that that wave metaphor like means a ton to me. And I think out of all my sessions this summer has been really like groundbreaking for me, honestly. So that's what I'm going to share with you in this episode. I'm going to leave it at that for takeaways. But I just want to shamelessly self-plug for a moment. Every single Monday on my Instagram stories at Marin for the Gym, I always share some takeaways from my morning therapy session. Also, after I create this episode, I'm going to make a story highlight on my profile so that you can watch all the segments from other weeks and see what I've taken away from each session in therapy. So if you're looking for more kind of lessons that I've learned from my own experience, you can always head there after this episode if that wave metaphor isn't enough for you. Also, I just realized I forgot to say it's raining outside. I have no idea if the mic is picking it up, but it's like literally tornadoing over here. So hopefully you can't hear it. Anyway, now we're going to go into some of the questions that you asked me on my Instagram, again, at Marin for the Gym. If you ever have any requests or topic ideas for me, always feel free to shoot them in a DM over there. Someone said, and I love how they phrased this question, I'd love to hear about how you translate what you learn in therapy into practice in your life. It doesn't have to be specific to what you learned, but more so just tips and strategies on how to apply your therapist's teachings into your day. So I think this is super key. Number one, therapy, obviously it's an hour a week or however often you go, but the real work happens outside of therapy when you are caught in a situation and you can choose to really start to apply what you've been working on and retrain your emotional thought patterns and habits to be more productive and successful for your well-being and mental health. So for me, it's very difficult. I'm not gonna lie. Habits are habits. It's hard to break a habit. For me, again, back to that wave metaphor, when I am caught in a tough spot, when I'm feeling really anxious or really depressed or stressed out, it's hard to be mindful in the moment. I'm not going to say that it's easy. We've all had tough feelings and it's hard to not be caught up in that feeling. But because I've worked so hard in therapy and I really want for myself to get better and to get a better relationship with my emotions and mental health, those visualizations for me are key, and I love that I'm able to get those from my therapist, and she knows that that's really what I work well with, so she talks about a lot of those. But so for me, it's very easy for me to apply visualizations to my day-to-day because, again, I'm a super visual person, so if I can take myself out of the moment and picture that in my head, close my eyes, be a little bit more mindful, and picture that image, that helps me work through my feelings a lot and translate what I've been working on right into that moment where I need a little extra support. That's my experience. Obviously, I can't give the end-all be-all answer for everyone about how to apply what you're learning into your day-to-day, But find what works for you and try to communicate that to your therapist. All they want to do is help you and help you become a healthier person mentally. So if something's not clicking with you that they're saying, just let them know. They're not going to be offended. For me, I know that these visualizations and these images really help me out. So I tell my therapist every week, I was like, by the way, that wave metaphor really helped me out. I was able to close my eyes and picture it and become a little bit more mindful when I was in this tough spot on X day, and it helped me just lower the intensity of my feeling rather than just trying to get rid of it. From that point forward, she knows to include more of these visualizations and images in our work together, because obviously that's proven successful. So for me, that's, to answer your question, that's how I translate what I learn in therapy into my everyday. But obviously I kind of just have those little phrases or quotes that I can hear her saying to me in the back of my head anytime I'm in a tougher spot. But it is hard. I'm not going to say it's easy. It is hard to get out of your previous emotional habits, and it does take some work. I also want to say, ask your therapist for book recommendations or podcast recommendations. This has also been a really cool game changer for me. I have been reading so many books and listening to different TED Talks and podcasts based on my therapist recommendations that helps me kind of bring therapy into my day-to-day life. Obviously, therapy is just that 1 hour a week, but if I'm reading a book every night before I go to bed that's kind of talking about similar concepts and ideas from our sessions together, then that kind of keeps it at the top of my head, and it makes it a lot easier for me to translate what I'm working on right into my daily life. So that's another great idea if you want to really bridge the gap between your sessions and your own personal day-to-day. Try to find those things to incorporate, to listen to read, to keep your work nice and fresh in your head. The last thing that I feel like I haven't touched on yet, but I did get asked about, was how to deal with the stigma of therapy. This is huge. One, it makes me like so passionate and like livid to still think that there is a stigma, and it's very frustrating for me that there is still like such this weirdness around therapy. But here's the thing. There's only a stigma, and you only feel the effects of a stigma. Oh my gosh, do you hear the thunder? I hope not. Anyway, there's only a stigma and you feel the effects of it if you let yourself feel the effects of it. If someone is making fun of you for going to therapy or judging you for going to therapy, that's on them. Number two, they're probably not someone you want to have in your environment. So like, I would maybe think about removing yourself from that relationship. Number three, you don't have to listen to what they're saying. Again, easier said than done, but you don't have to accept or internalize their judgment and their creation of stigma around what you're doing to better yourself. You can hear what they're saying, but you don't have to listen. Like, there's definitely a difference between hearing what someone's saying, letting it go in one out or in one ear, out the other, and say, okay, I hear you. Like, thanks for your input, but therapy's actually really helping me and it works super well for me. So like, it's not affecting you. You don't need to have a comment on it kind of thing. That's what I would say about the stigma. Again, it only affects you when you let those judgments be internalized and have value to your experience. That's what I would say about that. It is still so frustrating that the stigma exists, and I know that we've got a lot of work to do, but that's honestly a huge reason of why I wanted to create an episode like this, and why you all know I'm so open on my Instagram talking about personal mental health things such as this, because I truly believe that if we just talk about it more, it becomes less awkward to discuss, there's less of a stigma, and I think it's for the better. So that's another thing about the stigma, just try to share if you can, find someone to confide in. Let's all just like talk about it more openly so we can all work towards ending the stigma. Whew, that was a big episode. How long is this? This is over 30 minutes. Wow. Some of you have been asking for longer episodes, so hope this is what you meant. That's all I've got for my talk about therapy today. I do want to end with just the idea that if you need help, please, 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 please do not hesitate to reach out. Honestly, if you don't have someone to go to, DM me on Instagram or text me if you have my number, and we'll work to find a resource for you. It's genuinely not worth waiting until you have a panic attack or a huge depressive episode, or you feel like controlling your eating, or one of those huge, huge moments that could be detrimental to your mental health. It's not worth waiting until it gets to that point. Catch your signs of issues early and get help then. You deserve to get help even when you don't feel like there's anything wrong. You deserve to work on your mental health and well-being even when you don't feel like you have, you know, bad problems like other people do. I know I discussed, for me, my ED recovery and my parents' divorce, but just because I had those issues doesn't mean that I'm more worthy of therapy than anyone else or more worthy of help and support than anyone else. You don't need to have big life events to deserve working on yourself. So I just want to put that out there. I'm always around if you want to talk. I truly do enjoy meeting people online and hearing your experiences, or if you're someone I already know and you've never reached out to me about this kind of topic, let's just talk about it. And I'm here. I hope that my experience could help you. If it did, I'd love to hear about it. It makes my day when I feel like someone is now more inclined to get help for themselves or feels more comfortable with their own mental health issues because I've been talking about it, because that's my goal with all my vulnerability. I just want to hope to help someone out there. So let me know. But that is all I have for you today. I hope you're doing well. If you listened to this episode and you enjoyed it, you can always give a review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, I guess it's called. You can leave a review. You can give it a rating. Just help support me. And always leave future topic requests in my Instagram. I always check those. I always am looking for new ideas to record. So thank you so much for listening. I hope that you're having a good day, and I will see you in the next episode.